कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती रुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 18, Text 27.
Yadetadatmani jagan mano vakprana samhatam sarvam mayeti tarkena swasthastvyaktana tatsmaret. यदेतदात्मनि जगन् मनोवाक् प्राणसंहतम् सर्वं मायेति तर्केन स्वस्थस्त्यक्त्वा न तत्स्मरेत्. यदेतदात्मनि जगन् मनोवाक् प्राणसंहतम् सर्वं मायेति तर्केन स्वस्थस्त्यक्त्वा न तत्स्मरे. एतदात्मनि जगन्
Matajis, yat, which, etad, this, atmani, and the Supreme Lord, jagat, universe, manaha, of the mind, vak, speech, prana, and life air, samhatam, form, sarvam, all, maya, material illusion, iti, thus, tarkena, by logic, swastha, fixed in the self, tyakta, giving up, na, never, that, smaret, one should remember. Translation and purports. Translation. One should logically consider the universe which is situated within the Lord, and one's own material body, which is composed of mind, speech and life air, to be ultimately products of the Lord's illusory energy. Thus situated in the self, one should give up one's faith in these things and should never again make them the object of one's meditation. Burpat. Every conditioned soul considers the material body to be the object of his personal sense gratification, and therefore considers the material body to be his actual identity. The word tvyakta indicates that one must give up one's false identification with the material world and the material body, since both are merely products of the illusory potency of the Lord. One should never again meditate on the material world and body as object of sense gratification, but rather should become situated in Krishna consciousness. Looking at things from the eternal point of view, this world is simply illusory. The material energy of the Lord is devoid of consciousness and thus cannot be the basis of actual happiness. The Supreme Lord Himself is the only absolute conscious entity. He is absolutely self-sufficient, standing alone as Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. Only Vishnu and not the insignificant workings of the material nature can give us the actual perfection of life.
Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamishya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamishya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So we seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. So that I could speak something on this topic in line with the parampara and relevant to all of us. A translation. One should logically consider the universe which is situated within the Lord and one's own material body which is composed of mind, speech and life air to be ultimately the product of the laws Lord's illusory energy. Thus situated in the self, one should give up one's faith in these things and should never again make them the object of one's meditation. So this verse is one of the verse from the series of verses in the past which describes about the duty of the renunciate. This chapter 18, entitled Description of Varnashram Dharma, describes about the duties of the renunciates, especially in the Vanaprastha Ashram and in the Sannyasa Ashram. Vanaprastha Ashram duties has been dealt with in the previous verses, and this verse which we are discussing today is one of the verse, in fact the last verse of the duties of the Sannyasa Ashram. This chapter has continued from the previous chapter, which is also titled as a description of the Varnashram system. And this chapter is description of the Varnashram Dharma. In the previous chapter, about the description of the Varnashram system, the duties of the person in the Brahmachari Ashram and also in the Grihastha Ashram has been discussed. The origin of Varnashram system has been discussed. The duties of the person attached or detached in the household activities is described therein. And also the faults of the person attached to the varnashram, ashram, is also described in that verse, in that chapter. In this verse, it is said that yad etad atmani jagan, knowing that this world is in the Lord. We see that all the universes comes from the Lord. So understanding yad etad atmani jagan, and then also understanding mano vak pran samhastam, that this body which has a mind, speech and the life years, samhatam, situated in this body. So understanding this material world situated in the Lord, and this body which has mind, speech and life here, sarvam mayeti tarkena, all these two things one should understand with the logic, with the intelligence. Mayena tarkena swathas tyaktva, and situated in that logical understanding that these are the material energies of the Lord, both this thing, the material world and this body made up of mind, speech and the life here, is nothing but the material energy of a Lord without the consciousness, and therefore of no importance in one sense if we focus on the reality. Swasthas tyaktva, so situated with this conception, na tasmaret, one should not focus on this material world and on this body. So this is what the verse talks about. Now the question arises, if do not focus on this body and on this material world being the unreality or temporary, with that consciousness, but then what to do then? If do not focus, just saying do not do this, then focus on what? Naturally would be the question, focus on what? So to answer this, let's understand what is the purpose of telling this varnashram system. The very purpose of telling this varnashram system to the Uddhava by Krishna, if we go to the end of this chapter, wherein it is mentioned, what is the purpose? What if one does not follow this? And if all this varnashram system has been mentioned for all the person, what is that common principle that every varnashram should follow? And with what purpose? So if we understand that, then we can take the clue on what to absorb in, on what to focus in. So in the verse 43, it is mentioned, brahmacharyam tapa saucham santosha bhuta sahurudam grihasthasyapi rito gantuhu sarvesham mad upasanam. Sarvesham mad upasanam. So all this varnashram system that has been mentioned for the people to follow, the purpose is one. Sarvesham mad upasanam. Krishna is telling here, worship of me is this prescribed by all the human beings, regardless of social or occupational divisions. So it's very clear, Krishna is telling, the purpose is to come to the point of worshipping the Supreme Lord. The varnashram system here mentioned, that is the religious duties followed by all the people situated in particular ashram, they should offer this duties to the Supreme Lord. And then here in this verse is also mentioned, brahmacharyam tapa saucham santosha bhuta saurudam. So everyone has, no matter in what ashram they are, they have to follow this basic principles of brahmacharyam, that is of celibacy, tapaha, that is of austerity, and then saucham, that is the cleanliness of the body and the mind, and it also means that not being too attached or repulsive to the things in this world. And then santosha, the satisfaction, that one needs to be satisfied with whatever things they have in life. And that comes by when one is worshipping the Supreme Lord, knowing that the Supreme Lord is the controller, and when one worships the Supreme Lord with that mood, one will be satisfied. And then Bhuta Saurudam. So Bhuta Saurudam, considering all the living entities, or being the well-wishing friend of all the living entities, that is Bhuta Saurudam. Yesterday in the ashram, last evening, one devotee was just reading out, showing some video on the about Buckingham Palace being petitioned to be taken over for making a mosque. So then one brahmachari who was sitting there, when he heard that, he said, "Oh good, now they will understand. They have ruled and they have did this to others, now they will understand." With the intention that some people they understand by when they go through it. So with that mood, this brahmachari just explained. And then another brahmachari was just standing there. He said, "Oh, being happy in the miseries of others." And he said that it may have come to us, but now that they are going through it, why we be happy with that? Because being happy with the misery of others is like a negative thing. And it will be dealt by Krishna in his own way. Why we be the party to correct that person, unless and until being asked to? So very good to hear that point. So here, Bhuta Sauridam, being the well-wishing friend of all the living entity. And therefore, this principle has to be followed by all the people in the Varnashram system. And the purpose is clearly mentioned, Sarvesham Madupasanam. So that one worships, or the purpose is to please Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam is also mentioned, Kayena vacha manasendriyerva buddhyatmanava karoti prakriti sabhava karoti yatyat sakalam parasme narayanaya samarpayami. Kayena vacha manasendriyerva, with the body, speech or mind. Buddhyatmana, by the intelligence or by the atmana, and by one's own varnashram. Karoti yatyat, whatever one does, narayanaya samarpayam, one should offer it to the lords, or for the pleasure of the Lord. Also in Gita, yat karoshi yadasa shri yadoshi dadasi yat. So whatever one should do it for the Supreme Lord. Though this may not be a higher thing, because whatever one does, the question is, what should one do? What is the best that Lord wants us to do? That will come later on. But at least, whatever one is doing in Varnashram, which is obvious, he is doing the fulfilling the duties of the Varnashram, which is also coming from the Supreme Lord. So even if one does that and offers this to the Lord, then the purpose of Varnashram system is achieved, which is leading it to the devotional service, offering it to the Supreme Lord. And naturally, everyone is advised to worship the Supreme Lord. Now, how is this relevant to us? This topic of Varnashram is being spoken by Krishna to Uddhava. So if we understand what is the situation in which Uddhava is being instructed by Krishna, so let's dwell in what's going on in this 11th canto from chapter 1 itself. So these are the topics being discussed by Sukhdev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj have been described with the activities of Krishna in Canto 10. And then Sukhdev Goswami, he tells Parikshit Maharaj that now that all the demons in the Vrindavan have been killed by Krishna and Balaram, Krishna is now thinking of removing the burden by the presence of the Yadavas. So the burden of the demons has been removed, but now he is thinking of removing the burden of the Yadavas. Because nobody else can do that. Who can kill the powerful Yadava dynasty? So Krishna is thinking how to wind up his pastimes. And then when Parikshit Maharaj hears that Krishna is thinking of winding up the pastime with the curse, through the curse and with the conflicts in the Yadavas, Parikshit Maharaj is thinking, curse from a Brahmana to the Yadukula, who have always been dear to the Brahmana, how is that possible? And the conflicts in between the Yadavas, how is that possible? So he asked this question, and there Vasudev, the father of Krishna, when he hears this, winding up pastimes of Krishna, or Krishna ready to leave, he becomes anxious. And he talks to Narad Muni, that I have wasted my life. In fact, I prayed to Krishna in my previous life. I prayed to the Lord to give me a son, Supreme Lord. But actually, at that time itself, we would have asked the Lord to liberate me. I would have been liberated. But I asked for a son. So, please enlighten me so that I get rid of the samsara. When he mentions that, then at that point, Narad Muni, he tells him the story, discussion that happened between the Navayogendra and the King Nimi at Ajnanab. So he tells that this Navayogendras are one of the 9 sons of Rishabdev, the incarnation of the Lord, who is coming from the Swayambhu, Nabhi, and in that way, Rishabdev comes, and Rishabdev, who has got Bharat Maharaj, on whose name this Bharat Varsha comes, one of the son of Rishabdev, Rishabdev's 100th son. He had 1 Bharat Maharaj, 9 Kshatriyas, 9 Munis, Navayogendras, and then 81 Brahmanas who were performing the Karmakand part of the Vedas. So this Navayogendra's discussion with the King Nimi, when Nimi was performing the Yajna at Ajnanab, is mentioned here. That's the first part of this 11th canto. There are 2 parts. First part is this discussion of the Nimi with the Navayogendras. And these Navayogendras, they were like just like the 4 Kumaras, traveling anywhere. And while traveling, when they reached to this part where Nimi, King Nimi, was performing the Yajna, at that time, King Nimi took the opportunity of the presence of these effulgent personalities to ask them various questions, which are quite general questions which are asked by any king which we see in the parampara. First question was, what is the supreme good for the people in this world? And of course, King Kavi, one of the Navayogendras, immediately answers, Bhagavad Dharma, most important thing, the supreme good. And when he mentions about Bhagavad Dharma, naturally the devotees will come, Bhagavatas will come into picture. So he talks about the devotees also, in very short. But King Nimi says that, oh, tell me about Bhagavad Dharma more. Tell me about the nature of the devotees, the achar, the symptoms of the devotee. And so then another Muni answers that, the symptoms of the devotee, Kanishta, Madhyam, and then Uttam Adhikari. And then material world, what is this illusionary potency? King Nimi asks, and he tells about how the material world entangles one of the Navayogendras. The answer about how this samsara is being created for what purpose by the Lord, and how it binds the jiva, and by performing bhakti one can get rid, performing bhakti of Supreme Lord Narayan. As soon as he mentions that, he says, oh, tell me the position of Supreme Lord Narayan, how he's situated. And tell me about the Brahman and the Paramatma aspect. So then one of the Navayogendras talk about the 3 absolute truth, about the Narayan. He talks about the Brahman and the Paramatma. And also talks about the jiva, how the jiva gets binded. And then the only way by which jiva gets can be removed will be by performance of bhakti. So again Nimi asks, that how can one get freed by performing the prescribed duties? He asked that because bhakti and everything was mentioned. But how can a jiva who is performing prescribed duties can get freed by karma yoga? So then he talks about one of the Navayogita, they talk about the how can jiva get freed by the karma yoga, but that's the indirect path. He says the direct path is worship of the Keshava, the only way. And therefore he discusses about the worship aspect, the archvidhi process in detail. And in that archana vidhi he mentioned that, you know, take one of the deity of the Vishnu and worship him as per your liking. So Nimi Maharaj, he questions that, tell me the different deities, various incarnations that come and the type of activities they perform so that I can worship. So then he talks about Guna Avatar, Purusha Avatar. One of the Navayogindas talk about Guna Avatars, Purusha Avatar. And after hearing that how easy it is to perform or to serve all these great personalities who time and again come and perform their leelas. So he inquires that why is it that some people foolishly don't worship the Supreme Lord when they are exhibiting all these leelas? Why is it that people don't worship and what will happen to them? So at the end, Karbhajan Muni, he mentioned that those who are innocent, they will be given mercy. But those who are actually intelligent, knowing the Vedas and still not worshipping the Supreme Lord, they will fall down from their position. Nimi Maharaj asked, what is the hope? He said, no hope. Only when Supreme Lord comes, in particular yoga, there is some hope. So then he asked, what all are the avataras of particular yuga? And Karbhajan Muni at the end, he says, various avatars that come, various colors form their activities. And we hear about the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival also. So in that way, with that discussion, Narad Muni, he congratulates Vasudev, saying that you are so fortunate, Krishna is there in your home playing like an innocent ordinary man. You are very fortunate. But then now he is going to leave. So the chapter 6, it begins with saying that how Krishna is winding up his pastime. All the demigods, they arrive there and they thank Krishna, request Krishna and say that, Krishna, we have called you. We are grateful to you. You achieved your mission. And now if you so desire, it's a time to leave. And Krishna tells them about his wind-up plan. Krishna assembles all the senior devotees in the Dwarka and tells him that, see, we have been cursed by the sadhus and our dynasty will be ruined. So, let's go to Prabhasa Kshetra. And he says that the moon god had once been cursed, he went to the Prabhasa Kshetra and he was relieved. So let's go to Prabhasa Kshetra and perform the yajnas, tarpanas for our forefathers and so on. Uddhava, who was there, he could not digest. He takes Krishna to some corner. In fact, he takes him to the private place. He meets him there and says that, Krishna, just by hearing your pastime and glorifying that, one gets freed. You are a Yogeshwara. Who can curse you? You can counteract any curses. So when you are mentioning of going to Prabhasa Kshetra, it looks to me that you are willing to wind up your pastime and go back to Godhead. And he becomes emotional. He said that, I don't want to leave without you. I cannot remain a moment without you. So please take me. Please take me. When Krishna hears that, he gives him some instruction. And this is the second part which we are discussing today. That Krishna is discussing with Uddhava. He is instructing Uddhava what to do. So this 11th canto first part mostly dwells with the now Yogendra's instructing to the King Nimi. And second part is this Uddhava, Uddhav Gita we call. When Krishna is instructing to the Uddhava what to do. So he tells him, take sannyas. Because when I am gone, Kaliyuga will come. And in Kaliyuga, people will be all ill-motivated. So this is not a place to stay here. You just leave, wander different places. And at the end, go to the Badrika Ashram and take the association there. Or give your association there. But in the middle, he is telling him now, him first to leave. To leave. That is to take sannyas. And these are the verses that we are describing today about the activities of the sannyas ashram. Now if we just consider 100 years back, the situation was that nobody would take the sannyas easily. Very rarely one would take. And this discussion of what we are discussing today, the duties of varnashram, it would not be heard of earlier unless one is qualified. So initially the small kids will be sent to the Gurukul after 5-6 years. And then for 12 years they would hear Vedas, Sir the Guru. And in the Vedas, the first portion of the Vedas, not the last portion. As we know that Veda, when it's divided into 4 sections, so we have Brahmanaka, Samhita, and then we have Aranyaka, and then at the end we have Upanishad. So this Upanishad was not discussed at all. Brahmana, Samhita part would be discussed for this Brahman, for this Brahmacharis. In fact, the initial 12 years would go in understanding the language. That's why if we see the different Upanishads, the initial part which is mentioned there, it's about some Sanskrit language. So these Brahmacharis would first learn the language. And then they would take the Grihastha Ashram. And then they would go to the Vanaprastha Ashram. Aranyakas would be discussed. And then when they have no other motive to achieve anything apart until Brahmaloka, no other motto, not even Brahmaloka, they would be looking for the Adhyatma. At that time when they are ready for this sannyas ashram, they will be taught Upanishads. Taught means, till now we were talking about hearing, reading, some memorizing shlokas, but here now it's being taught. Upanishad being taught. The very word Upanishad, 3 parts, Upanishad. So Upa means near, close to. Ni means certainly. And Shad has around a dozen of meaning from that dhatu which comes. So one of the meaning is sit, closer, to sit, to hear. So sitting near the Guru. So why Guru? Sit near the Guru. Is it some secret thing that's being discussed? No, it's given in the Vedas. Upanishad is being told. But it cannot be understood. Because of, it's so difficult to assimilate, understand the meanings of the Upanishad. If we see the certain Upanishad, take any one Upanishad, Srila Prabhupada has given us Isha Upanishad. And there are other Upanishads also. Say Taittiriya Upanishad. So initially it starts with the certain verses which says that, and it's very difficult to understand how Brahman is compared to the Vayu. Now why Vayu? Then we need to understand, because Vayu is the one by which breathing we are focusing, we are absorbing ourselves inside. And we can understand the Supreme Lord. Therefore it's compared to the Brahman. Otherwise one will get confused on how is Brahman, Vayu told as a Brahman. So one has to understand that by sitting near the Guru. So here now when Krishna is telling to the Uddhava, take sannyas, so he has to understand the Jnanakanda portion. So he tells Krishna, instruct me about the Jnanakanda. So Krishna talks about the 4 Gurus. Why? How to learn from them and how to be situated in equality, equal vision. He hears that and then he asked. And then Krishna also discussed many other topics. Jaimini, different philosophies. jiva's bondage. He talks about bhakti yoga, he talks about jnana yoga, and then sankhya yoga as a hamsa avatar, he discusses that. And when Uddhava hears all this, he gets confused. He says, which part to follow? You talk about sankhya yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga, which one should I follow? So then Krishna again talks about jnana yoga, its purpose. And then he also talks about, and when Uddhava hears that, then he talks for the people in general who are meditating upon the Lord. The yogis, what is the best process to meditate and on whom to meditate? And Krishna answers, meditate on me, meditate on Krishna. And he says the process, how to meditate and what siddhis one will achieve. So chapter 16 of this 18th, of this 11th canto talks about the different siddhis. And hearing that, Uddhava is thinking that how merciful is Krishna, how powerful is Krishna, because all the siddhis are coming from him. So he asks him, tell about the your vibhutis, your opulence. And chapter 16 describes about the opulences of Krishna, all the vibhutis of Krishna. When he hears that, then Uddhava asks him in this chapter 17, that tell me, you have described about jnana, about ashtanga yoga, about bhakti, but tell me how by performing the prescribed duties one can achieve Krishna, because that has not been talked about. That's how 17th chapter, the Varnashram, the first two questions or the first two verses talk about. That's the question starting, how can I understand, how can one understand Krishna just by performing the prescribed duties of the Varnashram system? And he mentions, he talks about that. He talks about the origin and the various duties of the brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha and sannyas. And the duties, one of the duties he mentions in this 27th verse, wherein do not focus on this body and this material world because they are temporary, but focus on or be absorbed on Krishna. Or do not focus, he just talks about that. But by understanding the purpose, we understand that, okay, then do what? Then perform bhakti. But is it to perform the bhakti? Because while we are performing the bhakti, and people who perform the bhakti are in different modes. So we see that in fourth canto, or in the third canto, Kapil Muni, he talks about this bhakti, three kinds of bhakti. Bhakti in mode of ignorance, passion and goodness. Now bhakti is transcendental, but the performer is not transcendental. Therefore they perform the bhakti in these three modes. And the fourth canto begins with the bhakti in the mode of ignorance, motivated by passion, motivated by hatred and violence. And the example is Daksha, who was a devotee of Lord, but was motivated by hatred and violence. And as a result, his head was cut. And the goat's head was, he was replaced, because all the demigods approached Shiva and said that this yajna we have given him, bestowed him a good life, and now who will perform these sacrifices? So please do something. And then Lord Shiva bestowed or regained his life, but said that he should remember the mistake that he did, give him the goat's head. Bhakti in the mode of ignorance. And when this bhakti, when it is performed with the competence, with the greed to achieve something, then that is bhakti in the mode of passion. Not with the intention to harm others, but to achieve something. And the example is Dhruva. And in the third part of this fourth canto, is bhakti in the mode of goodness. Wherein, one may be motivated or influenced by the ignorance and passion, but is open for taking the guidance or advice from the higher source. And the example is Prithu Maharaj. A responsible person, he likes to complete his task, the task which is given to him. And the happiness in this world is calculated based on, if we think that we will achieve something, and we work upon it, and when we achieve it, we become happy. And responsible person all the way wants to do that. A person organized wants to achieve that. So King Prithu, one of such organized person, was performing the yajnas. And after performing 9 horse sacrifices, he wanted to perform 100. Who will not like to do that? And he was capable of achieving it. But then, the obstacle, Indra intervened. Now if some demoniac force intervenes, it's quite, we perform the laws of what is, how it is to be dealt with. So Prithu Maharaj tried to kill him by performing this fire wherein he wanted to, whoever creates obstacle to be destroyed in that fire. Normal well to dealt with the demon. But when conflict arises between the devotees and the devotees, both here Indra and Prithu Maharaj, both the incarnations of Lord, the dynamics are different. So Brahmaji intervened. Brahmaji came and said that stop that. He said he gave 2 choices. So here Brahmaji came here in the case of Prithu and also came in the case of Daksha. But Daksha did not hear. In fact, he told him to Brahmaji, indirectly he told his name. He said, Parmeshti, that how is it that he ordered me to marry my daughter to the Shiva? See, guidance being given, but he is telling, how come this order came? But here, Prithu Maharaj, Brahma comes, he acknowledges him. He acknowledges. So he was intelligent. Prithu Maharaj was intelligent. He acknowledges the presence of Brahma, heard him, heard his choices, 2 choices Brahma gave. Perform yajna. For that you have to kill Indra. Or else, and achieve heaven. Or else, stop yajna. And achieve Godhead. Prithu Maharaj understanding the instructions, he selected. He decided to bend down. And he achieved Supreme Person. So, 2 choices. One has to bend down and achieve Godhead, or do not bend down like Daksha and get the head cut and get a goat's head. So either goat's head or Godhead. So entire 4th canto is a journey, nothing but a journey from goat head to the Godhead. And the 3 examples are given. Therefore, it is said that the renunciation is not a matter of external dress or staying in some physical infrastructure, having some position. Renunciation is how is one absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna and willing to do or hear from the superior authorities. We see the examples mentioned in the current episodes of the in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The example, perfect example of the renunciate. Raghunath Das Goswami Maharaj was drinking milk or buttermilk 3 drops once in 3 days. Few drops in once in 3 days. So we are not expected to be like him. But the absorption is not to be given up. So physical austerity nobody can perform like that. Prabhupada says in the purport that if one performs that or imitates that, one will be finished. But that does not stop us from being absorbed in the way in which he was absorbed. So in ISKCON we have got all these facilities, but it's never told that not be absorbed or be absorbed for say 2 hours while chanting and rest of the time we be distracted. No. Absorb fully. So that is advised. And in today's world where we have mass destruction, mass weapon of destruction, it's not something else, any weapons, but it's the mass weapon of destruction is the distraction. A moment of distraction, and how it is dealt by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we see the examples of Chota Haridas, Bhattacharya, Kalakantha. Moment, how the Chota Haridas, just we don't even know, we don't even hear more about him. Did he perform sex? Did he steal something? Just a moment of distraction. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dealt with him so ruthlessly. And in today's world, people are distracted for most of the time. At that time, Chota Haridas, for a moment he got distracted, and the result we see how it was dealt. And in today's world, hardly one focuses or becomes absorbed. Even the goddess of fortune distracted for a moment from Lord Ram, desiring a golden deer, has to suffer or go through the misfortune of being away from Krishna. Being with Krishna or being with Lord Ram, but a moment of distraction has to go through. We being in the temple, even though with Radha Gopinath, but distracted, we will be sent to Lanka. That is the samsara. Again fall down in the samsara. Surrounded by the ocean of desires. So this distraction has to be dealt with. Distraction from the Sita's one moment lead to so much destruction. Destruction. So many soldiers got killed. A moment distraction. So for us, we have to see the consequences. By what? If we get distraction. Prabhupada was once in a morning walk, he told, nice building. We should have it for ISKCON. Jai Prabhupada, everyone. He went ahead, he said, nice garden. Everyone said, very good. Jai Prabhupada. Again he went ahead and says, nice dog. Everyone said, Jai Prabhupada. And he said, why? Why we want dog? Think what would be the consequences if we have that dog. Don't just say anything and accept anything. Of course, this was before GV and the purpose in the GV is different. But without seeing the consequences, if one gets distracted by anything and everything, one has to see what results one would get. So here when it's talked about, do not be absorbed in this material world or in this material body. The answer is to focus or absorbed in Krishna. And by taking into consideration how in this today's world the media is proposing so many things, gadgets and so many things, which we are carrying in our pocket, and when we remove it, everyone is absorbed in the samadhi. Leads to what kind of distraction? So using it for proper use, if at all one can, and being absorbed in Krishna, not necessarily to be performing the sacrifices or austerities like Raghunath Das Goswami, but the spirit and the purpose for which he performed was to be absorbed in Krishna. At least that we can look forward. So the benchmark Acharyas has given, the perfect renunciates, our Acharyas. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, a Grihastha, perfect renunciate. Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Thakur, perfect renunciate. Naistiki Brahmachari. And we have our Prabhupada, both as a Grihastha Ashram and in the Sannyas Ashram. Perfect renunciation. So we are fortunate to be situated in this ISKCON, surrounded by various facilities, not to perform the austerities like our Acharyas did, but at least the expectation of being absorbed in Krishna. If we perform that, then we can satisfy this verses saying that not to be absorbed in the material world and this body. Hare Krishna. So time is over, so we'll not take any questions. Thank you all for being patient and listening. Thank you very much. Kantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.